Hi, I'm Allison Hess.
And I'm Stephanie Graham.
Welcome to the Thousand Islands Playhouse Podcast. We have seven amazing shows to dive into for our 2024 season.
Join us as we talk to the artists that will make this season shine and get a behind-the-scenes peek at what's happening this summer dockside.
Don't forget to tune in
to give your ears a front row seat.
See you at the theater. Welcome back to the 2024 season of the Playhouse Podcast. We're recording today on the ancestral lands of the Haudenosaunee and Anishinaabeg peoples. We're recording on site at the Thousand Islands Playhouse in beautiful Gananoque. My name is Allison Hess, and I am the Education and Engagement Manager here at the Playhouse. Our co-host, Stephanie Graham, is not able to join us for this episode, as she is all in directing and choreographing a little show called Mamma Mia. But fear not, as we are incredibly lucky to have another podcaster extraordinaire in the studio with us today, Kyla Musselman.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you so much. Now, you're also quite busy being the assistant choreographer on this show.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate you taking time out of your incredibly busy schedule to come and podcast with us today.
Very happy to be here. Glad, thrilled, excited.
Oh, amazing. So Kyla has had the privilege of working as a professional theater performer for over 15 years. And as I said, currently part of Mamma Mia at the Thousand Islands Playhouse as an ensemble member, dance captain, and assistant choreographer. You really do it all.
We're doing it.
You're doing it, all the things.
It's so fun.
In 2018, she and her fellow performer, Jennifer Thiessen, launched a musical theater podcast, Tits and Teeth. Each episode of the podcast is a peek behind the curtain of musical theater, where guests share insight on the industry, pass down treasured knowledge, and tell hilarious stories from their journeys. The pair has produced over 80 episodes. Amazing.
Yes.
And interviewed some of North America's finest theater workers, such as Stephanie Graham, Kimberly Rampersand, Robert Marcus, and Julie Tomino. You can find Tits and Teeth wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes and Spotify.
Yeah, you can.
Amazing. Well, I think people will definitely have to check that out, because once they listen to this podcast today, they're like, I need more Kyla. I need her. Kyla, you're also a fantastic performer, as we said earlier. Selected credits include Spamalot, Frankenstein Revived, Chicago at Stratford, Newsies at Drayton, Mamma Mia at the Globe Theater, Anne of Green Gables in Charlottetown, and the North American tour of Saturday Night Fever.
Lots of dance.
Lots of dance.
Yes.
Yes. I feel like you love to dance.
I do.
Yeah. Now, okay. I feel like everyone is going to be asking, what does tits and teeth even mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So my co-host Jen Thiessen and I came up with this, we did not come up with this term. This term came to us as an old showgirl term for tits up, shoulders back, teeth out, give a big smile, and give them a show. And it's actually kind of morphed. We use it more as a bit of a motivational phrase on our podcast now, like tits up, teeth out, you got this. That's how Jen always closes our episodes, meaning shoulders back, head up, you can take on the day, get out there.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love that. It also reminds me of that one song from A Chorus Line, Dance 10 Looks 3, right?
Yes.
If you don't know that song, you should listen to it, because it surprises you.
It does.
It does. And I know you kind of already said it, you know, you started it together, but what was the impetus? Why were you like, you know what, we need this podcast out in the world?
Yeah, so the two of us together really wanted to chat with amazing artists about their journey in the industry in a fun way. We're always about spreading joy and kindness. And we wanted to bring some of the conversations that we were all having in dressing rooms, like separately across the country. We were all having kind of the same conversations, but bringing them more to the forefront into a hub together about how we wanted to advance our industry, how we wanted to advance our artistry, learning about how these artists got where they did, right? And so over time, like everything, it's also developed and morphed into, it's just the kind of episodes have changed a touch. Mm-hmm. Our audience was always very much for the joy, the banter, the silliness that we bring, but they were hungry for the knowledge. And that was kind of the exciting bit. So in this past season, we partnered with the Canadian Guild of Stage Directors and Choreographers to also bring episodes like What It Means to Be a Director with Tracy Fly, like what is being an artistic director with Stafford Arima, mm-hmm. who's currently the artistic director at Theatre Calgary. And Steph did an episode of how to produce your own work, like things like that. Oh yeah, I listened
to that one. That one was...
I know, the knowledge. Yeah. Again, so we're all about, if you want to find this knowledge and you're an artist, come and listen. And we're not about gatekeeping. Anyone who wants the information, we want to give it to you and find the path that best suits you in this industry.
Awesome. That's amazing. And so I think even if people were like, oh yeah, I got to check out that title, now I think they're going to have to check it even more.
Well, wasn't that the idea? Yes. Catch them with the title and bring them into the knowledge.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Amazing. All right.
All right. So as the temperature starts heating up, we're getting excited to dive into the cool waters of Greece in Mamma Mia. On the eve of her wedding, a daughter's quest to discover the identity of her father's brings three men from her mother's past back to the island they last visited over 20 years ago. The storytelling magic of ABBA's timeless song propels this enchanting tale of love, laughter, and friendship. This sparkly show is filled with nonstop laughs and explosive dance numbers, fueled by your favorite hits from Dancing Queen to Voulez-Vous and so many more.
This is going to be a good time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're on the river. We got the water. I can picture it already. Sequins, sand, sing-along.
Ooh.
There may be. Ooh. It's going to be fun.
And we're very excited to have two of the performers in the studio today, Annika Tupper and Brandon Antonio. Welcome, 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 welcome,
hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for joining us. Again, as I said with Kyla, as part of your incredibly busy schedule, which we'll get into because this show is fun and a good time, but it's also a monolith of a show.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you guys have been going nonstop, which again, so I appreciate you so much for taking time to come and chat with us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. Of course. So excited.
Yes. Annika plays Sophie in Mamma Mia. It is your debut at the Thousand Islands Playhouse. And last year, audiences would have seen you in The Prom at Drayton Entertainment. And you recently performed in Freedom, a mixtape, live and unplugged at the National Arts Center. Hi, Annika.
Yes. Hi, Kyla. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm just so excited to be here. And I mean, I'm so excited for the debut.
Yes.
Never been here. And mm-hmm. again, Inokwe has just been so beautiful and welcoming. Yeah. And I mean, you're doing Mamma Mia, like, on the dock.
Right.
Like, I mean, not on the dock. We could. Site specific.
Yeah. But pretty on the dock.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
It gets right close.
It gets pretty close. Yeah. So I would say we're basically.
Yeah. Like
awesome. Thanks for being here. And so Brandon, you play Sky in Mamma Mia and it's not your first time.
That's right.
You've played Sky before at the Globe in Saskatchewan mm-hmm. with Kyla.
Yes, we did.
That's so fun that you're able to come back.
2018.
I think 2016.
No, I think
2018. Oh, thank goodness. I was thinking 2016.
And anything prior to 2020 feels like a decade ago.
Correct.
Absolutely.
So I fully understand. You're like, that is another life.
Wait a minute.
It's another lifetime. But, you know, so that's awesome to come back and revisit that character.
Yeah.
You also played Gabe in the Mervish and musical stage co-production of Next to Normal, which I saw you in. And I, just finally made the connection. I was like going through this. I was like, oh my gosh, yeah, I saw that. That was a great version. Yeah, that was so fun. And I loved how they kind of changed a little bit of things and had like a new view on the whole story. It was so fun. Loved it.
We had the original Donna in Mamma Mia, Louise.
Yeah, Louise Petra.
As the doctor.
Yeah.
Which was insane.
Didn't know that.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she played the doctor.
Yeah, it was so. Yeah, I know. Like it's meant to be. It's so cool.
It was wild.
And then you also played various roles in Anne Juliet at Mervish, and then also then transferred to Broadway, which is super fun. So I want to hear all about that.
Okay.
That's going to be really, really cool. Also for our audience, you may hear in the background the dulcet tones of the Mamma Mia cast rehearsing. because we are actually so close to the rehearsal. This is a little sneak peek for you. So get excited.
We're in the magic.
We're in the magic.
We're literally in the middle
of the magic. All right. So we're going to jump in. Annika, you know, a little birdie told me that you are writing furiously to save the future of Canadian musical theater. What does that mean? Are you a writer, a composer? Like, tell us about that. And tell us about why we need more writers and more Canadian musical theater.
I mean, look, let's just say that sentence was in my bio, but I took it out because it felt a little bit too, what's the word? Important. It's not that I'm not important, but I love musical theater. It is something that I didn't necessarily grow up thinking that I would, like, do for a career, do just in general, but I really, really started to enjoy composing and mm-hmm. writing. I'd always been involved in music my entire life, growing up like a classical performer. And I really started to, I guess, wonder why there was lots of musical theater that was really, really good, but it was like, well, there's the Sondheim and that's all there is, and that is the best, mm-hmm. and no one mm-hmm. else is that. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like there was just a lot of disappointments, I suppose. Like, there's just a lot of gaps in, mm-hmm. in musical theater. And not even to mention, once I started studying at Sheridan, like, seeing the gaps in Canadian musical mm-hmm. theater specifically, and who is represented, whose stories get told, whose voices get heard. And I had the opportunity in, I believe, it was 2021. Oh gosh, I don't even know. Once again, the years just all mesh together.
All blend together.
But, yeah, at the Saskatoon Fringe Festival, speaking of Saskatchewan, because that's where I'm from.
Oh, amazing.
I had the opportunity to kind of like put on a fringe show with some young performers there and my brother. And that was my first opportunity composing for musical theater for like an actual mm-hmm. production, not just like in my bedroom being like, yeah, this would be so funny. Like, this is so great. I love all these little doodads. But that really just challenged me to, I don't know, actually put my own voice mm-hmm. and words mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and musical language that I had not heard in musical theater before, like actually have it be put on a stage. And that was really exciting for me. And so I like to do it all. I like to write like, as I said, lyrics, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. music. And I also love book writing. I think that there is a lot that can come from writing all three together,
yeah,
and marrying them. And so, yeah, I had the opportunity to put a few songs with my co-writer, Seamus Sweats, at the Toronto Fringe Books and Stands concert last year.
Oh, cool.
For something we wrote during our time at Sheridan in the, I guess it would be the writing stream. So, you know, I really got to actually quite literally streamline some of my degree to go towards writing for musical theater. And now I'm just waiting till I have time to keep doing it.
I was going to say, I was like, do you have things in the works?
Yeah.
New ideas ruminating?
I mean, there's one show that my dear, dear friend Ollie Gazelle and I have been writing for a long time. It's called Stage Moms. And
I already love it.
It's definitely a little too real. It came from our experiences growing up in an all ages choir with stage moms, just abundant, and the stories that came out of that, and kind of just, you know, exaggerating it a little bit, but we found that so many people can relate to that. Mm-hmm. It's not quite Dance Moms.
No.
Right? It's not quite.
It's a different genre of mother.
Okay? And so, yeah, that mm-hmm. is kind of one big thing, and I have another one I'm working on right now by myself, but We got to keep that one under wraps.
Oh, I love that.
Okay.
I love that. And we recently spoke with Sophia Fabili, who wrote Liars at a Funeral.
Yes.
If you haven't checked out that episode, that's episode one of this season of the Playhouse podcast. And it's so cool to see younger people of all different genders, like, coming out and, like, saying, hey, I have a story to tell. And I think that's amazing.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, for me, like, Britta Johnson is just, like, you know, obviously very big, I don't know what I would say, somewhat mentor, somewhat just somebody I look up to. Oh, and yeah. I think that if more people can see that, you know, she can do it, anybody can, right? And so for me, I saw somebody do it, and now here I am. There's another Annika who writes, too.
Yes.
Annika Johnson. Yes. Sorry.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That's amazing. And I hope we get to see and or hear some of your stuff soon.
We'll see.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Awesome.
Brandon, as we mentioned before, you were in the pre-Broadway North American premiere of Anne Juliet in Toronto and then made the transition to Broadway. What was that like, taking the production from Toronto to New York? Did it change much in that transfer? Was it a complete pickup and move? Like, did you learn the show in Toronto? What was that all about?
And even, like, the vibes, were they different? Like,
yeah, I mean, that was such a whirlwind of an experience, and so much happened in such, like, a short period of time that I'm only now kind of, like, starting to process all of it. Mm-hmm. It was incredible. So for the pre-Broadway production, we rehearsed in New York, since most people were from the States. It was just, like, easier to rehearse there. So we rehearsed there for about a month, the month of May, and then we came back to Toronto and just, like, jumped into tech right away. At the Princess of Wales, which was a huge theater.
House.
Oh my God.
It's
huge. Huge theater to perform a show like that. Like, felt incredible.
Right.
The vibes were immaculate and were always immaculate.
Great.
Because
that's what I wanna hear.
We were all just, you know, performing, in my opinion, the best pop songs ever.
Oh, yeah.
Max Martin. Yes.
Max Martin.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, and so for maybe some of our audience who haven't listened to Anne Juliet or haven't seen it, what did Max Martin write? Like, what are these pop songs?
Yeah, so, I mean, the story is like a twist on Romeo and Juliet. If Juliet decided to not end her life at the end of William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet. So a what-if story, and it's... that journey is all set to Max Martin pop songs, which, I mean, we all know. There's Baby One More Time, Backstreet Boys, I Want It That Way, like all of, like, any pop song from late 90s, early 2000s that you know was probably most likely Max Martin.
Amazing. Yeah.
And it was incredible. Like, he was there every day. Like, just... it was insane. Like, I would watch, you know, videos of him working with Britney and, like, on her first album in the studio in, like, 97, 98, and then have him, like,
right there
in the room with us.
Oh, amazing.
It was crazy. And pre-Broadway was incredible. It was really interesting because people didn't know what it was yet.
Right.
Here in Toronto.
Because it had just been in the West End.
It was in the West End. And, you know, there were mumblings and people started to get interested. But I want to say it took probably, like, halfway through our run. I think we were in Toronto for about 6 weeks, maybe five. And it took maybe 2.5-3 weeks for the talk to get around.
Yeah.
And then word of mouth spread like crazy. And then it was impossible to get a ticket in the last few weeks.
No, I know. I tried.
Yeah.
Right?
I know.
It was completely crazy.
Yeah.
And I think it, like... broke box office records at the Princess of Wales.
Wow.
Amazing.
And, like, that's a theater that, like, had Miss Saigon and...
Yeah,
like,
it was built for Miss Saigon,
if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
So it's incredible that we had that much of an impact in the short period of time that we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, we knew that we were transferring to Broadway of that fall of 2022?
Mm-hmm.
Again, yeah.
Here we
years,
are with
years. Years are crazy.
Unsure.
We knew... that we would either transfer to Broadway that fall of 2022 or early spring 2023.
Mm-hmm.
And then we found out on my birthday of 2022 at our Sitz Probe in Toronto that we were transferring that fall. So we knew that we would only really have like a month and a half, 2 months between pre-Broadway and Broadway, which again was wild because I was like, okay, great. I'm packing up my life at least for a year and I'm moving to New York to do this. So to answer your next question, not much changed, but we did find places that we could kind of like tighten and condense things. So like there were like a few verses that we got rid of because we're like, it's just, you know, it's, they're pop songs, right? So they're like repetitive and they were like, we don't need this story wise. We don't need this verse, or we could like tighten this up, which was nice. Cause I mean, that's what like pre-Broadway is for. You kind of, it's like a trial almost. You're testing it with an audience outside of New York before you make that big move.
And the waters were hot.
People loved it. And it's still running. And they just recently recouped on Broadway.
Oh, amazing.
Congratulations.
That's amazing.
And what does that mean for our audience?
Recouped means like they basically broke even in terms of like what their initial budget and expenses were. So
they can give money back to the investors.
Yeah, exactly. It's not often that that happens anymore. And there was only one change in cast members from Toronto to to Broadway.
Wow, that's great.
So it was like basically the entire group.
Yeah, so the whole team got to go down, which is that's awesome. Oh, that's awesome.
Speaking of teams.
Oh.
Mamma Mia is one of the biggest casts that's ever been at the Thousand Islands Playhouse with 20 adult performers. Who, there's lots of offstage singing that happened for many of the songs. To both of you, how has it been putting together all the elements? Annika, we can start with you.
Oh my gosh. I mean, first of all, the singing backstage when you already are singing and dancing on stage is just a whole other layer to add to it. And being like, wait, am I doing a quick change for this? Am I singing this one? Which one am I doing?
Are you singing while you're doing a quick change?
Basically, sometimes. Yeah. So I think it's getting our heads wrapped around that concept of, okay, it's not just our scenes when our bodies are physically on stage. It's like, how are we supporting each other throughout the entire show? Mm-hmm. And I think that's just also so beautiful that the show is really about a community all kind of coming together of just different people from different backgrounds. And I guess we all have to support each other too with our voices.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's like ABBA harmonies are no joke.
No joke at all.
They're part of the songs that maybe we don't always recognize when we're listening to, but the harmonies are built into these songs, and it would just sound like a different show without all of these amazing backups happening while like maybe two people are on stage and all the extra harmonies and nuance and orchestrations that are happening off stage. It keeps the life in all the songs, the songs that we all know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just the melody in ABBA songs. I mean, it's not called ah, you know, like it's ABBA, right? For a reason, ABBA. So they need those little harmonies, and that's been so exciting.
Yeah. It truly is like a mega musical at its finest.
And it was kind of one of the first like big jukebox musicals too, where it was like, let's take songs that we know people love and build a show. And like, what a show too, like the story, right?
But, yeah. I think it only had like 2 years of like the script being written around the songs. Yeah. I think it took
which is
not a nuts. Time.
And it's just brilliant. Like how they've been able to connect all these pieces and like how lyrically, I mean, we discuss a lot in rehearsal, how you actually don't really know the lyrics of most ABBA songs. Everyone knows the song.
The chorus.
Sing along to it, but usually it's Simlish, right? Like it's a random gibberish kind of thing. But how the book surrounds the music just is really perfect.
It is crafted just so beautifully. And that's what I love about a jukebox musical that uses these songs in an original story, because there are a lot of jukebox musicals that are like the story of like
Jersey Boys,
right? Cher, it's the Buddy story Holly. Of those of those artists. But when you take a show like Mamma Mia and like Anne Juliet and have an original story, you hear the lyrics and the songs in a new way when they're crafted as expertly as they have been.
Ooh, as
desperately.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Awesome. So we're going to do something a little fun for this episode. Okay. Because Mamma Mia is a good time. It's going to be a party all July at the Thousand Islands Playhouse. And so we wanted to have a little fun quiz. So I hope that you've been studying up on your ABBA trivia.
I've been studying my entire life.
Yeah, great. So I've given you little buzzers so that our audience can know who is answering, because I didn't want you yelling into the mics. Mm-hmm. So let's hear Brandon's buzzer. Lovely. That is a lovely little pig.
It's a cute little pig.
Cute little piggy. And Annika. Amazing. All right. So, rules of the game. We'll take turns asking you some ABBA questions and then buzz in if you think you know it.
Yikes.
And if you don't know it, then your competitor will have a chance to answer. All right.
Oh, gosh.
Number one.
ABBA is an acronym formed from the first letters of each group member's first name. What do the B's stand for? Oh, Brandon!
Oh! One is Benny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then the second is Bjorn.
Ding, ding, ding!
Okay, I only know this because I have a somewhat of like a photographic memory. Yes. So when I see the title at the top, right. It's like yes. from the music of whatever, I can just picture it.
I was
it.
Trying to Benny go through Bjorn, that, and I only thought of Bjorn. So
Amazing. Okay, wow. I'm Good. Surprised I got that.
Awesome. You guys are killing it, which I love. Okay,
here we go. What was the band's last single released in 1983?
Also, when you hear the title, you'll go, of course this was their last single.
Yes.
Thank you for the music.
Yeah.
Yes. Annika, killing it.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Isn't it?
Sentimental.
That's so sweet.
Yeah.
Right. And finally, in 1999, ABBA's music was adapted into which stage musical that toured worldwide? You'll never get it!
Mamma Mia!
Amazing. You did ABBA proud. So congratulations. Okay. All right. So one thing we do at the end of every podcast is we do what we call our GAN shout out. So you've been in Gananoque both first time, which is awesome. You know, what have you really enjoyed in your time so far?
I'm shouting out Laverne's.
Yes.
Yes.
Such good coffee.
Yeah.
Service is so great. They're so wonderful and so nice, great brunch, and great vibes all around.
Yeah.
Check out Laverne's.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to also shout out an establishment, Petunia's.
Bar Petunia.
So awesome. Bar Petunia. Mm-hmm. Such cute vibes. Also, amazing drinks. Uh-huh. And I just have to say, a castmate of ours and I got Twinkies and they served it out to us with a birthday candle on top.
Yeah, they were incredible.
All I can say is, you have to go there.
Yeah. What about you, Kyla? What have you enjoyed?
Okay, so I have gotten bread a couple times now at Panache Bakery. It's been delicious. And the next thing I need to go look at is the Market Vintage.
Oh. Yeah. Yes.
So Market Vintage. Those are the two.
Awesome.
Thank you, Annika and Brandon, for joining us today and killing it on the ABBA trivia.
That was awesome. And thank you, Kyla, for jumping in and being a fantastic co-host. So I know you already said it, but again, where can people find Tits and Teeth?
Really anywhere you find your podcast, definitely iTunes and Spotify.
Amazing.
Come check it out.
Awesome. All right. So if you haven't already been convinced, you got to come see Mamma Mia. Get your tickets because they are going quickly.
Yep.
Very
quickly. And so for more ticket information about Mamma Mia or the rest of our season, you can visit us at thousandislandsplayhouse.com. And thanks again to Mark Hunt for composing our Playhouse podcast theme music. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. And we will
see you at the theater.